And today, the adventure of the Red Sea and its meaning to us. Hebrews 11, verse 29. We read, "By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned." May God add His blessing to the reading of His Word. Those of us who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior have been challenged by the Holy Spirit to know this book. And it's a book that's filled to capacity with words. Thousands and thousands and thousands of words. And God commands us to study this book. That means not just to casually read it, but to study it, to work hard, to spend time, hours, days, years, a lifetime of study in this book. But as we do that, we recognize that there's a lot of words in here that begin to be found over and over and over again. And it's those words that become very precious to us. And some of those words identify the work of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. That is, what He actually accomplished when He died. Words like redemption. And we looked at redemption last Sunday morning. Words like reconciliation, propitiation, expiation, imputation. Big words, but words, like I said, that are precious. And there's another word, sanctification. And we're going to look at that word today. And then there's God the Holy Spirit and words that surround His ministry. Words like regeneration and indwelling and baptism and sealing, equipping, teaching. Very, very important words. But like I said, one of the most important is redemption. And we looked at that through the Passover lamb. And we went back to Egypt last week and we saw how God used Moses as an instrument to help free the Jews from the slave market of Egypt through the blood of this lamb called the Passover lamb. And that blood was placed on the doors, and by faith it was placed on the doors to keep the death angel away from the firstborn. But we learned something else. We learned that God is a genius, and He gave us that illustration to reveal to us, sort of as a symbol, an illustration in the Old Testament, of how we, those of us who live today, have been redeemed from the slave market of spiritual death and sin. And we're born into that slave market, physically alive, yes, but spiritually dead. And likewise, we have been redeemed. Those of us who have trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have been redeemed from the slave market of spiritual death. We've had our sins forgiven. And we have been regenerated, given life from God by means of the Holy Spirit, redeemed out of the slave market. So that word redemption becomes very precious to us. But there's another word, I mentioned it earlier, sanctification. And that word means to be set apart by God from the world. And that's exactly what He did with those same Jews that He redeemed out of Egypt. He brought them miraculously across the Red Sea. And in the process, He sanctified them. He set them apart from the world. Now, it's just a symbol to that generation of Jews. It was very real. But to us, it becomes a symbol, a type of being set apart by God from the world for a particular purpose. Let's get into Hebrews 11, and we have learned that every born again child of God is going to perform a work of faith in our life. God is going to do that. It's as though we're going to perform that work, but really it's God working in us. So it's His work, not our work. And He is going to use every believer to accomplish His work of faith that will ultimately be used to get the good news of Jesus Christ to the ears of those who need to know Him. And that's why we come to church. That's why we're all working together as a team, so ultimately that good news can be placed into the minds of missionaries all over the world to take it to those who need to hear Christ. And right here in our own community, people need to hear the gospel. So we work together as a team to make that happen. But it's God who's performing that work of faith in us. And that's what we're seeing in the lives of these faithful, is their work of faith. But in this case today, it's still the work of Moses. It's still a part of his work of faith. But the people did something amazing. They identified themselves with Moses. In fact, the Bible, we're going to see in just a moment, they were baptized into him. They were identified with him. And that's why that whole entire nation, 2 million people, could come across the Red Sea on dry ground. So with that as an introduction to the text, let's ask God's blessing on our study and let's launch into the crossing of the Red Sea. Verse 29, it says, by faith, Hebrews 11, by faith they, that's the Jews, passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. We need to flip back to Exodus chapter 14, and we need to read about the Red Sea, what happened that day. Now, I know you've seen the movie. I understand that. But it's always good to see it in Scripture. Now, we notice, look in chapter 14, Exodus, look in verse 8, first of all. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Who did it? God did it. God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. And the reason he hardened Pharaoh's heart, he was about to destroy the Egyptian army. That was God's will. And so he began that work by hardening Pharaoh's heart. And he pursued the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with boldness. In other words, they had been now redeemed from the slave market of Egypt. Now they're heading out. They're moving out. And they're marching straight ahead. They're following their great leader Moses, and they come against the Red Sea. In verse 9, so the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them by camping by the sea beside Pi Hahiroth before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, that means they gazed intently, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Now we're going to have an idea here why God refers to them all through the Old Testament as the children of Israel. You know, one thing about children is they vacillate. They're happy one moment, sad the next. Things are going great one moment, they're not going great the next. They're just easily deceived. They're easily tricked. They lack that stability. Well, that was true of the Jewish nation. They had just seen God work all those miracles to get them this far. But now here they see the Egyptian army coming and they look over here and there's the Red Sea and they're going, we're in trouble. Not, God, we trust you because we've seen you do some wonderful things. Verse 11, cried out to the Lord. Verse 10, then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? But look at verse 12. Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, I love this passage. Look in verse 13. Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Sometimes that's what we have to do as believers, isn't it? Just be quiet and be still when everything around us is falling apart. We just need to be quiet. When we feel the tension, when we feel the overwhelming desire to run or to throw in the towel, we need to just be quiet and be still and allow God to work on our behalf. That was the message from Moses to those people. Just be quiet, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. I want us to flip over to verse 21. It says, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. Boy, that's a powerful wind. And made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. Look at verse 22. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Now, there's a lot of people who want to say that really the Jews crossed over what is called the Reed Sea, and it was really shallow water. I have a problem with that. And the text said that there was a wall of water. I think Cecil B. DeMille had a better view of what really happened. The wall of water on both sides. Tremendous miracle of God. Now, the liberals have tried to steal the miracle, but it can't be stolen. It's in the text. Wall of water on both sides. It's right there. In fact, he says it twice. Look at verse 23. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses and his chariots and his horsemen. Let me kind of give you a picture of what happened. We're going to see that Moses stretched his rod out, and this is what God caused we've already seen that, the wind to blow and the waters to part. But the people had to identify themselves with Moses. Literally, they were baptized unto Moses, or into Moses. They immersed themselves into him. So when he launched out, they followed. So in reality, it's more of the faith of Moses than the faith of the people. But they're following him. They're identifying themselves with him. They're saying, Moses, where you go, we're going. And so he launched out. The people followed. 2 million of them followed. Right on across the sea. I want us to see in just a moment, we're going to look at some passages on the doctrine of sanctification. And it has everything to do with what's going on here. The word sanctification means to be set apart. And those of us, when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, God sets us apart from the world. He calls us, watch this, out of the world. And He positions us in Jesus Christ at that moment for a special purpose, for a reason. We have a destiny in Christ. So the picture here is a spiritual, we're seeing an example here, an illustration, sort of a type of what happens to us as we're placed into Christ. Now, that's spiritual. But what's happening here is the reality is the people are identifying themselves with Moses and they're following him into the sea. I would imagine they would are just more than a little bit afraid. I mean, you've got a wall of water over here and you've got a wall of water over here, but it's an amazing picture. They're seeing the hand of God in this. And they're amazed. And so they launch out. Here they go. 2 million down across the Red Sea. But what we're seeing here is the truth of sanctification in action. God is literally setting those people apart from the world that they knew. The world that they knew was slavery. It was bondage. But now God is setting them apart from that world and taking them into His world. Let's read the rest of this, and then I want to show you that. It says in verse 23, and the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses and his chariots and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. In other words, his presence is now the fire and the cloud, and he moved that presence over, and he blocked the Egyptians from coming. They couldn't come. They wouldn't come into the fire. So he was holding them back until all 2 million of the Jews crossed the Red Sea. They were sanctified, now set apart to God. Now watch, here we go. Verse 25, and he took off their chariot wheels so that they drove them with difficulty, and the Egyptians said, now this is amazing, because now, see, they're pursuing the Jews into the sea. Those chariots didn't do too well. It was muddy, and they were having a rough time. But they're seeing something now that's amazing. All this army, the leaders are seeing, hold it, their God is fighting for them, and apparently he's the living God, because they could see the water too, right? They saw both sides. They're saying, hold it, we don't need to be here. Let's get back to Egypt, but not Pharaoh. He's going to pursue, and he did. See in verse 25, the last part, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, on their chariots and on their horsemen. And that's exactly what he did. So now the people have been set apart from the Egyptian army, right? And they've moved across the Red Sea, symbolizing their separation now from the world that they knew. Listen to me carefully. That is exactly what happens to us when we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We are set apart from the world that we once knew. Totally, completely sanctified. That little word, hagiadzo, set apart from sin to God, from the world to God. With a special now, a new destiny in us. We have a divine calling as believers. Look down in verse 29. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea. Now notice this. And the waters, he says it again, were a wall to them on their right hand, on their left. It's as though God knew that the liberals later on in the generations of man were going to twist that truth. So he said it how many times? Twice. I mean, if it was shallow water, think of it. If it was shallow water and they just kind of splashed along in the shallow water getting across this reed sea, I'm thinking to myself, you mean the water came back with such force that it drowned the entire Egyptian army? I can't go there. Verse 30. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. They are now being separated from that slave market that they knew. And they're seeing the Egyptians are now dead. So all the world that they knew is behind them. They are now, watch this, free. There's freedom. Look in verse 31. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So as the people feared the Lord, that's a divine reverence for God, and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Everything is now wonderful with them. They had literally been set apart from Egypt. So the Red Sea becomes that line of demarcation. They had been redeemed out of the slave market by the blood of the Passover lamb. Symbolically, Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb who has redeemed us out of the slave market of sin. But now they have been set apart from the world for a particular purpose. I want us to talk about sanctification with the time that we have left. Because, as I said, that's one of those premier doctrines that reveal to us the value of the cross of Calvary. Those words that become important to us as believers the older we get. Words like redemption, reconciliation, propitiation, and sanctification. To be set apart. Now the word, I mentioned it a while ago, in the Greek is hagiadzo, and it just means to be set apart. But in this case, it's extremely important because it means to be set apart to God for a particular purpose. We have to believe that as believers, that once we trust Jesus Christ, we're saved for a purpose. We're not just given life from God to come to church on Sunday. We're not just given life to God to go to Sunday school. God has a divine calling for every believer on the planet. That is, coming to church is valuable. Because we're going to make a contribution to God's plan with what we do here and how we perform our work of faith and how we perform our giftedness from God, we're going to make a contribution. Flip over to 1 Corinthians. Here's what I want to teach you about sanctification this morning because it has everything to do with the Red Sea. First of all, sanctification is positional. Every believer has been sanctified. Number two, every believer is being sanctified. That is, every day of our life, We are being set apart. We have been sanctified. We are being sanctified. And finally, every believer will be sanctified. Did you catch the differences? We have been sanctified. We are being sanctified. And we shall be. We will be sanctified. Now, the word is set apart. So we have been set apart in Jesus Christ. This is why this position in Christ is so very important. When we trust Jesus Christ as Savior, God places us into the body of Christ, where His life becomes our life, His righteousness becomes our righteousness, His relationship to the Father becomes our relationship to the Father, His destiny becomes our destiny because we're in Him. That is a spiritual reality. Now, we don't see it with our physical eyes, but it's true. We are in Christ, and we're set apart in Him. Look at the passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 2. To the church, the ecclesia of God, the called of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are, here's the word, sanctified. Now notice where we're set apart. Sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints. That little word, those little words to be are not in the original text. Called saints. They were called by God to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. When we trust Jesus Christ, our Red Sea experience is that we are placed into Jesus Christ. The Jews were placed into Moses. You say, where do we find that? Well, look over in chapter 10, the same book. Look in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. Now, who is he talking about there? The Jews. And the sea here is the Red Sea, the crossing of the Red Sea. That's the obvious interpretation. Now look in verse 2. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. That is, they identified themselves with Moses. That's how they got across the sea dry shod. This is what I want you to see. The teaching is so beautiful. Once we are redeemed by the blood of the Passover lamb, we are placed into the body of Jesus Christ. We are redeemed by His blood, but placed into His body, immersed into Him. And that's how we're going to accomplish our work of faith, because we're in Christ. We're set apart, how long? Forever. So positionally, we are in Christ. We have been sanctified. That is a reality. That is a truth. That really happened. But secondly, watch now, we are being sanctified. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Since we have been placed into Jesus Christ, how are we supposed to live? Let's just say for a moment, that really happened. We take that by faith, that we really were, at the moment we trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we really were immersed, baptized into the body of Jesus Christ, baptism of the Holy Spirit. He put us in there. Let's say that really, really happened, and that's now my new identity. I am in Christ. I'm a part of His body. Let's say that's true. Well, how do I live? Can I live the same old life? No. I've been set apart from the world. Am I living in the world? Yes. But I'm no longer what? Of the world. I've been set apart to God. I am in Christ now. I have a brand new identity. I am a Christian. I have a new identity, just like those Jews who had come across the Red Sea, been set apart by God. Now, their destiny becomes the destiny of God. God has a destiny for them. We're launching out on Him in Christ. We have a new calling. We have a new position. We have a new identity. We have a new righteousness. We have a new relationship to the Father. This is why it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away because all things have become new. I'm now across the Red Sea, right? But notice this, we are being sanctified. Look in verse 14, 1 Peter 1. As obedient children, watch this, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, that is, the times you were in Egypt, the times you were in the slave market. But, look in verse 15, as He who called you is holy, set apart, you also be holy in all your conduct. That is, how you live. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. That word holy is exactly the same word as sanctification. It's hagios, to be set apart. How are we to live as believers? We are to live as those who have been set apart to glorify God. Our life is here, we're left here to glorify Him, to shed light on Him. We're not here for ourselves anymore. We have been bought with a price. What was the price? The precious blood of the Passover lamb. Is that not beautiful? We have been redeemed. So now we live for His glory, not our own. We've been across the Red Sea. We have been sanctified, positionally sanctified, and so every day our life should be set apart to God. Finally, though, we shall be forever sanctified. Look at Jude, just before the unveiling, just before Revelation. Jude, look at verses 24 and 25. Boy, what a doxology this is. For those of you who like a doxology, but this teaches us that we are going to be set apart. It's going to happen at the rapture of the church. That is, when Jesus Christ comes back, we're all going to be with Him. That moment, we are set apart. Now, to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling. Boy, I'm so glad of that. What about you? You can say deeply in your heart, amen. God is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Now, here's what He's saying. Over here, when I go to be with Jesus Christ, God is able to preserve us all through our life. He's able to keep us saved. And then finally, in the end, to present us before Jesus Christ as being holy. Boy, what a picture. We have been sanctified positionally way over here. We're placed into Christ. So we're to live a life that pleases God because we're in Christ. That is, we've come across the Red Sea. We've been sanctified, set apart to God for His honor, His glory. But we're being sanctified every day. God is bringing things into our life, some good things and some what? Not so good things. Some things that are very hurtful, right? Some things that test our faith and twist our heart and our mind. Some things that come sometimes so hard and so fast, we say, God, where are You? If you're like me, you have to go back to Romans 8:28 there and say, God, I know that what You're doing is ultimately for my good and Your glory, but boy, it's tough. It's tough to see that, but You told me, watch this, to be set apart, to be holy because You're holy, set apart to His glory. Is that not good? And ultimately, we will be what? Sanctified. And I take heart in the passage in Philippians that says this, in Philippians 1:6, God says, Paul says to us, that God is going to finish in every believer what He starts. I hope you appreciate that. If God called you to Himself and gave you life in Jesus Christ, He is going to finish in you what He started. He's going to do it. It's His work, not our work. Don't miss this, though. That was part of Moses' work of faith. When Moses took that first step and his sandals hit dry ground, he launched out on God. And God honored his faith, didn't He? And that work helped ultimately to get Jesus Christ to Calvary, didn't it? And to an empty tomb, right? Father, would You reveal to us by means of the Spirit the truth of this passage? That not only could we vision in our mind, with the eyes of our mind, the Jews, as they're trapped by the Egyptians up against the Red Sea, and we witness the faith of Moses, Father, as he listens to Your voice and he does what You told him to do, what You tell him to do. And Father, may we see that the Jews identified with Moses. They were baptized into him. They were identified with him. And the entire nation walked across on dry ground. What a miracle we see. And that day You separated a nation from the world. that they had known, an entire nation. You sanctified them, you set them apart to take them to Canaan. And Father, I pray that we would see with the eyes of our mind the truth that's there, that we have been redeemed from the slave market of sin, this world, spiritual death, separation from you. But we have been redeemed for a purpose. We have been set apart by you to magnify Jesus Christ to this world. We have been saved to serve you, to live for you, to make our choices based on what we know from your word, that our thoughts could be focused on you and our words could be generated by you, that we could treat each other in a way that would be loving and kind. Father, that we could glorify Christ here in this place in so many ways, fulfilling our destiny, our work of faith. Father, may it be true. And Father, teach us that we have been set apart in Christ. We are being set apart every day. And one day we shall be set apart. Thank you for the teaching. May God the Holy Spirit use it, Father, to glorify Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.